Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came and trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Braden Dental, two generations of dental care, downtown Lake Geneva.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In three, two, one.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Good morning, welcome to Life Matters. This is our first show that's live since the election. Mike Mason joins me this morning.
Wow, that was like a month ago.
I know. Well,
and
yeah,
it's not over.
Mike joins me this morning because we're having ups and downs here at the station, and we've decided to spin the wheel of rotation. And Mike won the booby prize this morning.
Translate the down.
Well, I've been off because of medical issues slash COVID slash, I don't know. You are the like Teflon man because you never get sick. I don't know what's happening.
On the way here, I was calculating how many people this has wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 11 people that come in and out of here per week, full-time staff or people that we interview every week.
Right.
If it's just full-time staff, it's 8.
Mm-hmm.
If we include, I'm sorry, it's 9. 11 people that come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at 6.
Right.
This has affected 6 of us. Me not included.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, we feel like several of them have had, like, had COVID before COVID was a thing, like back in February. And so we think that those two in particular are immune at this point because through all of this, they've not gotten sick again. And then the other one is you. And we just don't know what you're doing.
I don't
you're
ever
not
get
breathing or something.
No, I don't ever get sick.
Oh, okay.
And I knock on this studio
whatever
counter
wood thing this is.
It's very rare that I get sick.
Yeah.
Maybe once every 3 years. And when I do, like, it hits me bad and
right.
I'm just knocked out for a week or whatever. But I don't know. Like, my girlfriend, her oldest son had it twice.
Right.
My daughter's had it once. We go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to Las Vegas, the Dells, here and there, everywhere. We go out to eat. We go shopping. Like, we're not letting this stop us. Like,
right.
Yeah, we wear our stupid mask. But
right.
here I am.
Right.
I'm standing.
You're like Teflon.
And now
nothing is sticking to you.
Now I've been surrounded by all you clowns that
right.
have it.
I know.
So now I'm like, all right, still going strong.
Well, I didn't have it very bad. My problem is I'm having kidney issues again. And so it started with that. And then I was supposed to have something done to relieve that situation. And our listeners know I have this long-term battle with my kidneys.
Yeah,
and so this is
mess.
Not new news.
You're a mess.
And then I couldn't have my stuff done because I started not being able to taste or smell anything right before Thanksgiving. And so everything's been postponed. And so I have results from a COVID test that are coming back tomorrow, hopefully. Maybe later today, but likely tomorrow.
How's your brain?
You know what? They don't do that. No, they don't do that anymore. No, they don't do that anymore. It tickles. It makes you want to sneeze. And it made me cry. Like, not like boohoo cry, but like my eyes just watered like crazy.
When did that change?
I don't know. But thank God it changed before I had to have that done. Because I was literally stressed out so bad about having that done. And no, it tickles really bad. It,
okay.
It tickles. But they only put it about up to halfway up in your nose.
All right.
They don't stick it in your brain anymore. And so, or at least this one didn't. Mm-hmm. And so, so we're waiting
on
that.
It's a legit test?
Well, Mercy, I went to Mercy,
okay.
So I'm thinking
right.
They're pretty credible. What with, being a hospital and all.
Okay.
So yeah, they Yeah, so it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I anticipated. I worked myself up for not as much as I thought it was going to be.
I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks.
I know. Nobody has.
It's weird.
Well, because I was quarantined. Right? Yeah, yeah, I still am. I know. My hair is a different color. Everything is weird. I had to go into, once I found out I had the kidney problem, I had to go into quarantine anyway because I was supposed to be able to pass the test in order to get this, because they were going to do emergency kind of surgery. And then I started having symptoms, and so that got taken off the books, even though I didn't go in and get a test when I had the symptoms, because it was pretty obvious that I had it. Like, why waste a test? Why waste these people's time? So I quarantined, and now I'm over the symptoms. Like, the only thing I have is I can taste certain things, and I am starting to be able to really start smelling things again. And that was what really got me. Like, I couldn't care less if I can't taste anything, but I am a huge aromatherapy kind of person. You know, like, I like the different smells. I like the smells from the holidays, like candles or you know, lavender for relaxing and stuff like that. And so that's really taken a toll on me, is not being able to smell worse than anything.
It's possible you still have it right now.
Well, no, I don't have any of the symptoms now, like, okay, except for not being able to smell anything. Right. Okay. I'm okay. I don't know, maybe. Okay. What difference does it make to you, Teflon?
It's fine.
Teflon Mike.
Come breathe on me or whatever, whatever.
Get it over
you
with.
Do. So you got me here on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that,
really.
Well, you know.
I'm not happy about that.
We just rolled the dice and, you know, rock, paper, scissors, and I don't know why.
I was all three. So I was screwed from the get-go.
Pretty much, yeah. But I really thought that this was perfect because we have Matt Kittle from Empower Wisconsin on today.
Mm.
And he's written a series of really super relative, common sense as usual articles for Empower Wisconsin lately that have just like made me grind my teeth even more. And so I wanted him to come on, and you've never met him or talked to him, I know. And so you guys, I think, will get along splendidly. I think that you're really going to like his style.
Because he's a conservative?
Well, he's a conservative and he's hysterical. He's just absolutely funny.
All right.
And one of the things that I the next time I talk to him, not today, I'm not going to bring this up today, but the next time I talk to him, I'm going to remind him that he told Dave Michaels, used to co-host the show with me, and years ago when Trump was running for president, we interviewed Matt, and Matt said Trump's campaign has probably already fizzled out or something like that. And then he went on to win and be probably one of the most successful presidents we will ever see in our lifetimes as far as being productive and getting things done.
Sure.
So I'm not going to remind him of that today, but every once in a while, even when we're not interviewing him, I do like just send him a message and say, hey, remember when you said that his campaign was dying as we speak? So, yeah, so he was wrong about that, but he is never wrong about anything else. And so he's going to join us here in just a few minutes. And then, of course, I have so much stuff for Don't Even Get Me Started. It's going to take several shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've just
I'm
been building it up now.
I was on that once when I first started.
Yes.
I don't remember what the topic of conversation was, but I'm looking forward to that part.
Well, the topic of conversation is always things that annoy Nancy. And so that was the topic of conversation, would be anything that annoys.
A laundry list of things that annoy.
I know. And now I've got it like all bottled up. You know, like it's all. And so there's a lot and I'm trying to prioritize and I'm not
okay.
sure.
All right.
So, yeah.
Sorry,
it's
I had
stressful.
To answer a work text.
They're texting you for work. You're at work.
Go back to sleep.
And who else is here? Like. Anyway, so I'm excited to have Matt back, and Melody will be back with us next week, and I should be back for the rest of the year. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
For the rest
crossed.
Of the year, there's like 7 days left.
I'm telling you, I can't promise anything.
All right.
I really can't. But that's all right.
I've been doing what I can to hold the place together.
I've seen that. And you have been unbelievably amazing.
Thanks.
Because we've got new equipment installed. We all dropped in the middle of it.
It was like, the perfect storm is what it was.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Luckily, there were no major technical problems with the install, but I haven't been back in here to be able to go through and take care of little details as well. And so we're still kind of hanging open on all of it. And so
anybody knows, and any company you've ever worked for, a new system install, nothing ever goes as planned.
Right.
There's always some type of drama or technical issues. And we did have some of those, but what are you going to do? It's
right.
Fine. You expect them with the new system.
Absolutely.
And I did what I can. There's a bunch of booze in the fridge, so that helped. And
Yeah. I did leave that for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I did that on purpose. So, but yeah, so you're holding it together, and now we're going to hold the show together.
All right.
It's going to be awesome. Okay. And Matt's going to join us coming up right after this break, right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
And welcome back to Life Matters right here on Lake 96.1. So, Mike, you, this is your debut for co-hosting with having the guest that we have next, Mr. Matt Kittle from Empower Wisconsin. And this is going to be very exciting for you, Mike. I just want you to know.
I'm looking forward to it.
You seem excited.
I have no idea what's coming, so I'm just
right.
I'm looking at you and I'm waiting.
I really sort of threw him into this, Matt. You have actually had more experience on this show at this point than Mike has, and so he's really very nervous at this point.
She said, come in here, Mike, put on your headphones, and we're going to talk about stuff. I said, all right.
Mike, my congratulations and condolences.
Right.
Thank you.
Two C's as we, it's unfortunate that you have to deal with me as your, first guest, if you will, in co-host land. And I will do my best not to befuddle things.
No, really, I'm really going easy on him with having you on. I mean, I could have somebody on like, I don't know, anybody else.
Cher.
Yeah, let's have Rosie on as well.
Right.
Or Bette Midler.
Oh, no. No. I used to like Bette Midler, and she is just vile. So, no, I won't watch movies. And I am finding myself, Matt, and I don't know if you are, the more these Hollywood people step into politics or voice their opinion or try to work on cancel culture type stuff, you know, I find myself just really not watching anything or listening to anything that they do. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, I have to tell you, to be honest, anybody who has a film credit on the movie Beaches should not be taken seriously.
This is true. That's true.
Okay?
And Hocus Pocus.
I know she's the wind beneath our wings, but there's only so far we can go.
Well, I just, you know, and it's really, it is disappointing because like you brought up Hocus Pocus, one of my absolute favorite movies.
Right.
And I couldn't watch it this year because she just is so... I mean, she was just so nasty. I just can't bring myself to do it.
I follow her on Twitter only to retort back to some of her, like you said, vile tweets.
Right.
They're terrible.
Yeah. When did people get so nasty?
Let's see. A very, very long time ago. I think we forget the historical context here, but it's gotten a lot worse. I always get confused between Bette Midler and Joy Behar. So
right, that's true.
They're both terrible.
That's true.
They're both vile and nasty. I believe that's what they go by. And that should be a new TV program for them in liberal Hollywood. Vile and nasty. Joy Behar and Bette Midler.
But isn't it funny when you... are on that type of, when you have that method of thought, you're given things. You're given a TV show.
Right.
You are awarded things that if it were the opposite, they would be taken away from you.
Right.
And
like
that,
one of my favorite shows is Last Man Standing. Do you ever watch this show?
Tim Allen.
Okay.
Big conservative.
First, huge conservative. He is hysterical. I mean, that show is, it is truly... Americana. I mean, I hate to tell you, but that is how most of America works. And it's just interesting to me. You're right. They canceled it. They brought it back because of, you know, outcry. But yet they won't cancel The View and see if anybody says bring them back because of outcry, mostly because nobody would notice, I don't think. But it's just I find myself just changing the channel at this point because things have gotten so outrageous. One of the things that in this community, however, that's gotten outrageous is this situation in Burlington, and you wrote about that in Empower Wisconsin, for Empower Wisconsin, on Friday. Talk to us a little bit about this story in Burlington and what you've found out, what you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think your listeners in and around the Burlington area know exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, this is a community that has been riven by allegations of racism. Some of them fair, as school board members in Burlington will tell you that there have been incidents of racism in the school system. But as has been their wont, Black Lives Matter and this coalition, so-called anti-racism coalition that popped up in Burlington, has painted with a very wide and dangerous brush.
Right.
And as we know, when these groups paint with a wide and very dangerous brush, the mainstream media accepts it all as complete and credible.
Right.
And so Burlington has just been assaulted, not just locally, but nationally, with awful press, stuff that just simply is not true. And we found out, of course, in November, just where Black Lives Matter and this anti-racism coalition is truly at. And that is disruption and disorder if they do not get everything that they want.
And well, they throw temper tantrums, right?
Exactly. I mean, we see the video from the Burlington School Board meeting where they shut down the meeting. They forced the shutdown because the board did the unthinkable, committed the crime of moving on their agenda. There are a lot of folks in this movement who clearly, as you can see in the video, don't want to have a real conversation.
No.
They want a one-sided conversation. And their allies in the mainstream media have assisted them in that process. Well, the piece that we did at Empower Wisconsin on Friday, you know, we've addressed this issue, this painting with the broad brush. Now we have a coalition, the Burlington Coalition to Dismantle Racism. Now the founder of that group and the president. Now the group is raising money for her.
Right, to keep her safe.
Raise some eyebrows in the community.
Right, and it's specifically, it says, keep the family safe.
Yeah.
From,
yeah.
I'm not sure what.
The fundraiser, first of all, let's take this back. This is a group that identifies itself as a community organization. There are a lot of people, whether this group has said it or not, believe this is a nonprofit. And a lot of people have given money in good faith because they think, well, this is a group that is dealing with equity issues and, you know, racism, widespread racism. Of course, they've read the press. They've seen the stories. So they think, oh, this is a terrible community just brimming with racism. We've got to do something. Let's give to this nonprofit. That's what they think.
Right.
This is not a nonprofit. It does not have nonprofit status. We have investigated that. It does not. And they've had to come out and say we don't. They have some sort of a nonprofit sponsor, they say. They won't say who that is. But they make it appear that this is a nonprofit devoted simply to raising awareness and combating racism in communities. Now, you have this campaign, this fundraising campaign appeal from the founder and director of this organization to help her and her family move out of Burlington because they claim that since all of this stuff started, they are being targeted by, hate and harassment, although we really have no evidence to show that that is the case.
Well, it says on their website. By the way, people should understand that anybody can get a website that has the last three letters that is a .org website, and that does not mean you are a nonprofit. Okay,
right.
So I think that the people, they just kind of gloss over that, and they don't realize, you know, anybody can get a website. Anybody. I mean, anybody. my 5-year-old grandson could have a website, and it could be a .org. And there's no, please do not assume that it's a 501c anything, any kind of charitable organization, just because it says .org. But right on their about page on their website, it says, we value justice, peace, transparency, unity, and kindness. Now, I find it hard to believe that when you watch that video of the school board meeting, I mean, I'm seeing peace, unity, and kindness out the window. Like, absolutely out the window. So right away, you know, 3/5 of your you know, apparent, you know, goal to promote, you've blown that right out the window. And then you wonder why people, when you go in and act like this. See, this is what we talked about before. Melody and I have said so many times, I don't judge you on your color, on your height, on your weight. Nothing like that. On your age, nothing. I judge you on your behavior. Mm-hmm. If you're a jerk, I don't care what color you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're male or female. You're a jerk. It just doesn't matter to me. And I'm sure that not everybody is like me. I get that. But why would I want to work with you when you go in and you create the chaos? That, like, why do you think that, again, it's a temper tantrum. We don't deal with terrorists. We don't deal with 2-year-olds who throw temper tantrums. You don't give in to that. Or I don't, anyway. Why would I give in to somebody who's throwing a temper tantrum like this and, once again, defies their own statements on their own website that this is what we're here to promote? And right off, and in one of the most important meetings that you could have shown your integrity, this is what you do. That's the impression that you make on everybody. Like, does anybody think that that's going to get them anywhere?
I mean, all good questions, and those are questions that are asked in the community. But first and foremost, I think your 5-year-old grandson's website is fantastic, by the way. His take on the pound puppies.
Paw Patrol. It's Paw Patrol now. Great, right.
Wow, look at you with the pound puppies reference. I haven't heard that since the late 80s.
Listen,
oh, Matt.
Here I go again dating myself, which is exactly what I was doing in the 1980s. We have a real disconnect here. Again, you point to the video, but there's been a lot of conduct by this group that many folks, whether they want to be on the record or not, because frankly, they do feel intimidated, they do feel harassed, and they don't want that.
Right.
And I'm not necessarily even talking about people who are making violent threats against them. There's a business owner, as I understand it, in Burlington, who has done so much for the community, but he refused to take one of this group's, you know, pamphlets or flyers and put it up, you know, saying how much he supports this group, because while he believes Black Lives Matter, he also believes all lives matter. And that very statement, all lives matter, is so egregious and racist and hurtful to these groups and to Black Lives Matter and people who support them, that now they're billing these folks who have been such good community members and supporters over the years of so many different causes in the community. Now they're targeting them as racist. That's a very hurtful thing to people who aren't racist.
Right.
People who have brought so much value and commitment to their communities. And so you have this silencing that's going on. You know, on their website, more than you talk about their mission and their goals, they describe themselves in the highest of terms as we get ready for the High Holy Season in the Christian faith. They liken themselves to Jesus. You know, I guess maybe they're seeing themselves as going into the temple and turning over the tables or the money changers. Or I don't know what they're thinking. But what we saw in the video, what we saw at the Burlington School Board, was them standing on tables and shouting, you are racist, and threatening school board members. And I don't know, that's a disconnect for a lot of people who believe in and really love Jesus.
I'm watching it right now, actually, as you're speaking, and we've seen this hundreds of times before where this organization comes in and how loud can we be?
Right.
How loud can we be? And people get intimidated by that and they back down. And then they give them whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And that's not how you get things.
No. Well, it even says here again, I'm looking right at their website. It says, we're a community of people striving to be racially healed and reconciled to each other. Well, I don't see healing or reconciling in these actions. I'm not saying anything about the people. I can't believe that their hearts aren't in the right place. I mean, I want to believe that so bad, but I don't, again, see that in the behavior. The fact is that they just don't care. They just want to be loud. The squeaky wheel does not necessarily get the grease. I hate to tell you, but you're right. When they're threatening and they're screaming such vile things, you know, like that you're a racist when people clearly are not, or you have no idea anything about that person. You're right. I mean, people get scared and they start scrambling to just make it go away instead of actually solving the problem. So really, they're doing nothing but perpetuating it, because these are, you know, anything that comes out of this is going to be a Band-Aid. It's not going to be anything that's actually productive in healing any kind of racism or issues therein.
Well, groups like this don't want to have a discussion.
No.
Like I said, they want to be loud and they want to intimidate until their foe
right.
backs down, and then they've gotten what they wanted.
Right. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter who does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen that. Exactly. We've seen it all over the country over the last several months.
And right.
It was a long, hot summer of racial discord in this country. Are there problems? Are there incidents of racism in America? Absolutely. But we're at a really difficult divide in this country. Once again, we've been here before,
mm-hmm.
but we're at a divide in this country where you have not just a group of people, but an entire campaign that is very well funded that says the entire structure, the entire system of America is broken. It is intrinsically racist, and it has been since 1619, for those of you who've been following or have found as atrocious as I, the New York Times 1619 project, mm-hmm. which again has perpetuated this stuff.
Right.
You know, that basically this is a country that's filled with, in their terms, white privilege and white supremacy. It is broken. It has the country, the systems on which this country was founded, including the promises of liberty and freedom, and that we will strive to do better in those efforts, that it all be torn down and rebuilt again in someone else's image. And then there are people who look at this and say, my God, this is insane.
Right.
The opportunities of this country compared to the rest of the world, this truly is an exceptional nation. And we get that. We understand that. We've lived that. Not everybody has shared in the American dream. That doesn't mean that the American dream is dead. It doesn't mean that it's dysfunctional. It doesn't mean that the opportunities don't exist for people. And so those are the real ideological battle lines. It's not even Republican, Democrat.
No, it's not.
It's really those two ideas, whether America is really inherently good despite our warts over time, or whether it was born awful and remains awful.
You know,
that's where we're at in America.
If this country was systemically racist, then explain to me why a black man was elected to the highest office in our land, not once, but twice by an overwhelming margin.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's not. It's not. It's, you know, here again, it's...
Yes, there are, like you said, there are instances. Absolutely there are.
Of course.
And you're never going to be able, on both sides, you know, whites versus blacks, blacks versus whites.
Right.
It's going to happen. Some people just don't like other people based on the color of their skin. It happens both ways. But don't tell me that this country is systemically racist, because it's not.
Yeah. Well, you'll never hear that on this show, because it's not.
It's bigger than that, too. I mean, it's always painted in terms of color lines, but it's really ideological.
It is.
It's even more ideological than it is on color lines. It's presented as a color issue, but really it is, as we've been talking about during this segment, as we've been talking about what's happening in Burlington.
And this video, to me, this is the first time I saw this, Matt. And this is nothing surprising to me, because we've been seeing this happen all year.
Right.
All year. Right. Where BLM comes in, they're loud, they get violent, and they're looking to just get their way on whatever they want. They've openly said that in their, you've seen their training videos. We're going to do this. We're a Marxist organization. We're going to, you know, if we don't get what we want, we're going to burn the whole thing down.
Yep. Shut it down, burn it down. And we saw that not too far away, of course, from Burlington.
Well,
where you had Kenosha, parts of it burning. And that's really it. I mean, all of that, the surface view of that was Jacob Blake and the officer-involved shooting of a black man. But really what it is a movement that is well-funded and well-orchestrated that is aimed at tearing down the infrastructure. And when I say infrastructure, I mean the ideological infrastructure of America, and replacing it with something that does not resemble anything that people have fought and died for 240 plus years.
You know, you brought up Kenosha. By the way, we're talking with Matt Kittle from Empower Wisconsin. You brought up the Kenosha issue. Let's talk about Kyle Rittenhouse for a minute. As the prosecutors tried to silence his attorneys, tried to say that his attorneys aren't allowed to say anything nice about him in the press. Yet we have... like you wrote in your article, Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts, she can call Rittenhouse a 17-year-old white supremacist. We've had multiple media agencies calling him a murderer, a killer, everything else. But the prosecution doesn't want anybody on Rittenhouse's team, legal team specifically, saying anything nice in the press about him.
Yes, you have prosecutors in Kenosha County who have asked the judge presiding over Kyle Rittenhouse's homicide case to gag or stifle the speech of his defense. We're saying things like Kyle Rittenhouse is God-fearing and community-oriented. How horrible.
I know.
Well, of course, because that doesn't fit the narrative that the prosecution would love to create here, and that has been created by a mainstream media that is totally irresponsible, and of course by the liberals who have led the charge, that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. There's not a shred of evidence to suggest that, and that in their minds he's a cold-blooded killer. Now, people can agree or disagree about what Kyle Rittenhouse did that fateful night. Did he kill those people in cold blood? That's what a trial with a jury will decide. But to stifle the characterizations of Kyle Rittenhouse by his defense team while saying nothing, and they could do nothing. The court could do nothing about what... Ms. Pressley, or what Joe Biden's campaign has done with that video, or what myriad liberals and liberal groups have done. They can't silence them. The argument is, should they be able to silence the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse?
Right. And the answer is no. I mean, you got, you know, you don't, right. You don't get to have it both ways. Right. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to allow everybody to go and call this kid a monster, whether you believe he's a monster or not. You don't get to allow to have everybody call him a monster and have absolutely nobody on his side defending what could be slander or libel against this young man. This isn't about what he did. This is about what they're now doing. And so, you know, you just, but you, you know, here again, this is guilt in the public eye with not the, without the benefit of the trial that he obviously deserves and will get. And hopefully it is a fair, impartial trial. Matt, I only have a couple minutes here. I want to go over one more thing. Our governor, who we could argue his effectiveness until, you know, the kingdom come. Or actually, it wouldn't be that long of a conversation. What am I thinking? He's going to lose us some money. He has, again, he's in over his head. He's been in over his head since the moment he was elected, before he ever even stepped into the office. Now he's had oversight over this money from the CARES Act, from the federal government. He wants more money. He has not either properly or completely spent what he's been allotted. And if he doesn't spend it by the end of this month, it's got to go back to the feds. So where's the PPP for schools? Why aren't these kids in school? And why aren't the teachers being protected? How much money has he spent on nursing homes? Why are we protecting? Like, I am all for the arts. Okay, but why are we giving money to the arts before we're giving money to nursing homes and schools and doctors and hospitals? And like, none of the money should have gone anywhere else until these things were 150% funded in order to protect. And he had control over $1.9 billion of the funds, and he's what, spent half of it? And he hasn't even spent that. He's allotted half of it. Am I reading this right?
You are correct. And that's based on, of course, the latest numbers that the Treasury and the state oversight team at the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has. One of the problems is the Evers administration, according to folks that I talked to at the Fiscal Bureau, very slow in reporting what they're doing. And one could argue that they're very slow because they just haven't done it. You know, it ties into the question of priority. They spent $15 million of the CARES Act money in a bailout of the arts in Wisconsin. You know, there are going to be people who are going to argue, oh man, we really need that money there. They have spent, as you say, really nothing in the way of keeping schools open.
Right.
That would make schools safe. Because they don't want to do that.
No.
You know why? Because the teachers' unions in the state of Wisconsin don't want to do that.
Right.
And the teachers' union in the state of Wisconsin are some of Tony Evers' biggest campaign funders. One, the big thing here that I'll leave you with is that, again, we have a narrative that has gone out that these slow-moving, you know, Republicans who don't care a thing whether grandma dies or not of COVID-19. They failed to act. That is turned on its head when we know the truth that the CARES Act funding, $2.3 billion in total that came to Wisconsin, is at the discretion almost completely of the governor of each state. That is to say, Governor Tony Evers has the full power and flexibility to spend that money as he sees fit to combat COVID and the impacts of COVID on the economy. And you can take a look at the record right now. He has spent less than half of that money. He has committed a good part of that money, committed, so they say, but committed is not spent.
Right.
And the terms of the deal with the federal government are very clear. You spend that money by December 30th or it goes back to the federal treasury, as it should, because that's taxpayer money.
Right.
So there is growing concern by a lot of folks in the legislature that Tony Evers is going to squander this opportunity we have to help people in a time of great crisis in a time of grave economic concern.
And what, let me just say that the priority that would be overwhelmingly productive at this point would be to help out small businesses.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I run a small business, and there has been no help whatsoever from this state.
I think a lot of small businesses can tell you that. Now,
exactly.
We're glad to see that Evers has finally released funding, grant funding for the hospitality industry. You know, in December.
Right.
This is an industry, my God, it's been just destroyed by COVID and the impacts, more so the restrictions and the lockdowns have been put in place by unelected health bureaucrats and the governor of the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
These are folks that have been begging for help. The hospitality trade, the hotels, the restaurants. Finally, there is some substantial funding. I can't remember if it was $45, $50 million. I don't remember the most recent number. But there are a lot of businesses who have told me, and they will tell you, they haven't received anything, no offer of help, and
right.
whatever help has come has fallen far short of what they need for survival.
It looks like $45 million is the number that you're referring to
right.
now,
yep,
that's
which
just,
each
yep.
eligible business to receive a $20,000 grant by the end of the year.
So $20,000,
well,
that doesn't help.
$20,000, yeah.
That's nothing.
Think about the restaurant owner who is at 25% in Dane County, 25% capacity. You know, I talked to a guy there, not to go on about this, but I talked to a restaurant owner in South Central Wisconsin who said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send them 25% of my taxes because I have to continue to go on and pay. They demand that I pay their taxes. They've taken away 75% of my business. That's the sort of growing frustration that we're hearing from the business community.
Right. Yes, I am. Yeah. And I'm right there with them. And because this has affected so many of our clients, I mean, every one of our clients, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And it's just been so hard to collectively watch and to see the devastation when it doesn't matter. It's across the board. In everybody, you know, here we are sitting in Lake Geneva, tourist town. You know, we survive on visitors and you can come here, but sometimes there's nothing to do because of our governor. I mean, it's a cluster, and it's just there's no other way around it. And it's because, again, he has no idea what he's doing. He hasn't had any idea what he's doing, and now it's come to a head, and it's going to take us years to recover. Matt, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. By the way, I want you to know, your Christmas present is in the mail. I don't want it to be a surprise. It's one of those $58 sweatshirts from AOC. Uh-huh.
Well, that will be a surprise.
Yeah, well, I got a $50 Christmas bonus, and so I pitched in a little and thought, you know, I'm going to spend this on Matt because I think that you would enjoy it and you will wear it, and so I just want you to be looking out for that.
And just so...
Aren't you kind? You are so very kind.
And for the record, I did not contribute anything to the $8 that she needed. I can't get on board with AOC merch.
Listen, I'm telling you, Matt knows way better than he knows that I did not spend $58 on a sweatshirt from AOC.
And please know that I also did not.
I know.
Now I am thinking about sending both of you a copy of Bette Midler's 1988 film Beaches.
Oh, good. Well, all right. So we get the booby prize for the day.
Finally, I can add that to my collection, Matt. Thank you.
I want to finish with this.
Yes.
Okay? Because I always like to finish with a little song if I can.
Okay.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Cut him off. Make him
you're
go.
Everything
no.
I wish I could be.
Matt. Hey, Matt.
I can fly.
Wow, he's still going.
How do I hang up this phone?
I don't know.
My way.
We got all this new equipment. We can't figure out how to get you off the phone.
Tip your waitresses, try the veal. Thank you.
Matt Kittle from Empower Wisconsin. Thanks very much, Matt. We'll be right back on Life Matters here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Okay. Now if, oh shoot, I forgot to tell you how this works. When I say don't even get me started.
you know we're live, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You have to say it at the same time. Okay? So ready? And now for another edition of Don't Even Get Me Started. Okay, that was good enough. I'm going to give you a pass on that one.
Sorry.
It's only pass fail. All
right.
You did not fail.
Okay.
So I have a lot of stuff like really bottled up inside me. I do, about don't even get me started. Things like,
that's you every day.
Well, this is true. But normally I'm able to get it out like in a week,
okay.
Right? And so like right now, I haven't done don't even get me started since the election. Like don't even get me started
on that. So it's been over a month.
Right. I haven't been able to talk about any of the potential voter fraud. Earlier in the show, just a few minutes ago,
you said potential.
I know.
How about actual voter fraud?
Oh, well, I was trying to give people the benefit of the doubt.
No, don't do that.
Okay, no. Earlier, I told Matt Kittle that I was sending him a $58 sweatshirt from AOC. You know, I don't think I've ever paid more than 10 bucks for a sweatshirt. I don't know about you. At 58 bucks, you know, that says tax the rich.
Saw it.
I can't even.
I know.
I can't even. I haven't been able to talk about COVID. I haven't been able to talk about anything. And so it's like all bottled up, and I don't even know where to start.
Start at the beginning, Nancy. That's always a good place to start, the beginning.
All right, let's talk about the election.
Okay.
Right? Let's talk about the election. So I started to put my glasses on. I don't even need
You've
glasses.
You've done that three times.
I know,
you go to put
I'm
your glasses
so...
on, and then you take them off. And then you go to put them back on, and you take them off.
I've been reading so much that I feel like I should be wearing my reading glasses all the time.
Okay.
At this point. Like, I feel weird now without them.
Give me your glasses.
Okay.
You don't...
They're just little dollar store glasses. I don't... Because I lose them so much that...
Oh, my God. Try them on. You are blind.
Blind.
You are blind.
It was only like a 1.5. I was like an 8.25 before my LASIK surgery.
All right.
Now my vision's nearly perfect, except for the whole reading glasses.
I'm 2010, so someone who's 2010 putting these on.
Yeah, don't put those on. That'll just give you a headache.
I know.
All right, so election. The election. Okay, so if you're going to tell me that you believe that ballots coming in suitcases mm-hmm. and ballot dumps mm-hmm. and... places that are collecting people's ballots that really have absolutely no secure chain of custody. Mm-hmm. If you're going to tell me that, you know, 16 jillion people voting mail-in because they're, quote, indefinitely confined is legit, you know, thousands of dead people voting, and it's been proven. There is actual proof. You know, witnesses and video of people putting in ballots through the machines more than once. Things like that. If you're going to tell me that you think all of that is crap, that this election was an actual election held with any kind of integrity or trust, then I have like a whole bunch of swampland to sell you. I don't care at this point. I really don't care at this point if any of this changes the outcome of the election for other reasons, mostly because I think that Biden's going to be pretty much frozen in what he can do. He's not going to be able to do a lot in 4 years because he's not going to have the Senate. You know, there's a chance, you know, their majority in the House is going to go away. I just don't think that he's going to be real successful. So let's set that aside for the moment. But you will never, ever, ever have any kind of election, whether it's for a school board right up to the president of the United States, that holds any, not even one single ounce of integrity that anybody can trust if we do not fix these problems immediately. And the only way to fix these problems, Mike, people have to go to jail. Jail. I don't mean, oh, you know, you're going to get a slap on the wrist. I don't mean, oh, we're going to. No, these people need to go to jail. Okay? Jail. That is the only way. This is illegal. This is, in my opinion, it's treason. I mean, to completely betray the trust of the election process in this
well,
country.
There are severe penalties for election fraud. And if this were just in one city or county, I'd be like, right, whatever. But this, we're talking like five states where there were ballot dumps. Okay, we know that they stopped counting at a certain period of time.
Right.
Early in the middle of the night, early in the morning. I mean, they have a stack of affidavits. Hundreds and hundreds of people that are telling you, we saw this happen.
Right.
We saw this happen.
Right.
Vans pulled up and dropped boxes and boxes of ballots. Now, in Georgia, to me, so far, this is the most telling and the most shocking, which is the suitcases.
Right.
And you can't deny it. No one's reporting on it because they don't want you to know about it, but it's irrefutable, you know, it's
on video.
I can't say that word, but yes, it is on video.
I mean, how do you, like, your eyes, do you really think your eyes are playing this right. big of a trick on you?
Right, right.
Like, if it's a, call it a spade, you know, it's, so, okay, so maybe it was, look, even if it was only 100 votes and not thousands, okay, you still compromised all these other, if there's 100 invalid, illegal votes in the system, it counteracts 100 legal votes. So my vote may not count now because you canceled it out with an illegal vote. Do you understand that? Like, just because your vote went in, that means nothing. If 10,000 votes that were cast illegally went in and canceled yours out, why bother? And that's the problem. Here's the problem is that people's attitudes are changing. Why bother? I mean, it's not legit. You know, we don't even know who won. We can't figure it out. We don't know if our vote's going to count. We don't know whose vote is legal and whose isn't.
What about all the Republicans that are saying, you know, he should just concede?
No.
Why?
No.
If you were, if you know, this is.
Hillary still hasn't conceded. I'm just kidding. She has. But
actually, she hasn't.
But she really hasn't.
She never conceded the 2016 race. But here's the thing. He knew. And mm-hmm. he always, for whatever reason, he always has, he's one step ahead of the game.
Right.
He always has been. So I have no doubt that this will, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know legally what they can do. Can they just throw out ballots? Are they going to redo elections in certain counties? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Right.
I don't know the how. I just know the end result.
Right.
I don't see him losing this election.
Well, I don't think he should have. I think that there's a very, very powerful effort to make people believe that he has lost this election and to make people give up on
the media is totally gaslighting everybody.
Right. So let me just tell you a little bit about radio and how this has to do with.
Please tell me because I hope to get into it someday.
Yeah, you should. Right. I think you'd be good at it. the way radio advertising, and this part is not where you come in, but this, the way radio advertising and television advertising works, any advertising really, but especially radio and TV, and especially radio, because we don't have the advantage of the visual that goes along with the audio, is repetition. Repetition, 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 okay? So for instance, I write many, 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 many of the commercials that you hear on this radio station, and one of the things that you want to do in a 30-second commercial is you want to say the name of the business at least three times. Okay, you don't just repeat it three times. You want it to be in context. It also has to make sense, obviously. But three times, okay? The reason for that is that it takes somebody 21 times of hearing something in order to even begin for them to start changing their habits or have it stay top of mind. So I'm going to take an example. So Peck and Weiss, okay? Peck and Weiss not only has a jingle, more people get comfortable with Peck and Weiss, okay? Everybody knows this jingle at this point. You want to know why? It's because you've heard it so many times. Just like, what's the TV commercial, the Empire commercial, the carpet people?
Oh, 588-2300.
There you go. Why have you heard that? Right. Or why do you know that?
I've been hearing that since I was a kid.
That's right. So, and I often bring up this company, Head-On, that apply directly to the forehead. Head-On, apply directly to the forehead. That's all they ever said in the commercial. You know what? And that stuff, it works. Okay? I bought some. You apply it directly to your forehead. It works. It will get rid of a headache. But it's repetition. Okay? And once you hear something 21 times, you will start to consider, subconsciously even, changing a habit, going to a different restaurant, trying something new. Or in the case of a service company like Peck & Wise, when you see it on Facebook or you Google, you know, plumbers in Lake Geneva or Walworth County or whatever, Peck & Wise comes up. Or even if they don't come up first, you see them on the list and you're like, oh, yeah. And there's a sense of trust because you recognize it. Okay. And then you call them. That's how this works. Okay. You don't even know that we're doing it. You don't even know. Well, that's exactly what the media has done to you.
Mm-hmm.
It has repeated over and over and over again. COVID this, masks work, stay at home. You know, Trump lost the election. There's no fraud. That voter ID is voter suppression. That, okay, this is what the media is doing to you.
I never understood the voter suppression.
You mean how it voter ID leads to voter suppression?
Well, you need an ID to buy alcohol. You need an ID to buy cigarettes.
Right.
You need an ID for very trivial
things.
To get work.
To get welfare.
So why not require an ID to vote for people that run your state and your country? I never understood why anybody would be against that. And I did read that if there were voter ID laws in every single state, that Democrats would never win another election ever.
They wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
So the more people tell you something, you know, the more people say Kyle Rittenhouse is a killer, then you're going to believe it. The more people say that Black Lives Matter and all lives don't, you're going to believe it. You know, but the people who have the credibility and the people who are truly working for unity aren't saying those things. They're not trying to brainwash you. They're not trying to influence your thinking. Okay? You know, again, there's no reason why the healthy people in this country cannot walk around and do what they need to do in order to stay afloat. There's no reason why businesses shouldn't be open so that they can pay their employees, so that they can stay alive, so they can, I mean, there's no reason. It's the sick people who need to stay at home.
Right.
So mask mandates and all these other things that they've been telling you and that, you know, all of this time that you know, this is the media.
2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Right.
Right.
How many two-week periods?
It's been 9 months.
Right. Okay. So, you know, you believe just because you say it doesn't make it true. And just because
you
say
that
it, I
months
know.
Ago, and I don't know what we were talking about, but I specifically remember being in your office and I said, you can say it a million times and you can say it over and over again, but that doesn't make it true. And I really, you know, I don't care if someone has a different point of view than me. I don't care that someone disagrees with me. Fine. I'm not going to go defriend them like a lot of people do. Like people want to, for whatever reason, some people like to be in their own little bubble surrounded by people who think exactly the way that they are.
Well, that's way easier.
It's way easier and it doesn't.
But it's way boring.
Yeah, but we live in a society with different points of view and it should balance each other out.
Right.
And I guess it's frustrating.
It's very frustrating because we watch it. We know how to do it and make it productive. That's what radio does. There is nobody that knows better how to influence your decisions and who you go to and who you call for business or what event you go to or whatever than me. I'm telling you, I write the scripts here. I've been doing this for 20 years. There's nobody that knows better. And it's exactly what the media in their news, quote, news stories, unquote, right, are doing to you.
I remember where I was going with this when I was going to say, I don't care if somebody has a different opinion than me or a point of view. Do your own research. Come to your own conclusions. Like I was talking to my girlfriend's daughter about voting. It was her first election and she wasn't sure who to vote for. And I said, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You know who I'm going to vote for. But why don't you do your own research? Mm-hmm. Why don't you look up each of the candidates? See where they stand on issues and how that lines up to you and how you feel, and then make your decision.
Right.
No one cares who you vote for, but did you take all of the steps yourself, do your own research? That's fine. Rather than just listening to Taylor Swift say, I'm endorsing Joe Biden or Lady Gaga, and I know we play them on our station, that's fine. But, you know, think for yourself.
You know why we play them on our station?
Tell me why, Nancy.
Because we are able to have healthy conversations.
She's pointing.
We are able because we're tolerant that way.
Right.
We know these artists have. Okay, just because I personally don't want to watch Bette Midler anymore and would never watch The View.
She loves me.
I'm sure she does. I can't believe she's not shown up at the door. Because you can give it back to anybody that gives it out. But just because we disagree with them doesn't mean that everybody does. And we don't take that away from you. Like, we don't pick and choose. That's called censorship. We don't do that here.
Right.
Okay? Except for Nickelback. I don't play Nickelback.
You
not
said
a
that.
Fan of
you
Nickelback.
Said that, not me.
Not a fan of Nickelback and
99%
the
of the population.
Song. Well, yeah, I think I'm speaking for the majority when they say every Nickelback song sounds the same. We could play one song
say
from
Barbie
Nickelback.
Song?
Yeah, that Barbie song in a Barbie world. Yeah. No, that is banned from this building. Anybody that plays, it's fired. So, I hate it.
Okay.
Can't stand it.
All right.
It's no. So, and I'm sure I'm going to get email about that.
Probably.
Of all the things to get email about, it's going to be bring back the Barbie song, which we haven't played since, I don't know, like sometime in 2010
How
or something.
How long does this segment go, Nancy?
It goes till I say so.
Okay. All right.
I know. Yeah, you're new here.
I'm just watching the clock.
I know. Joni waits. She doesn't care.
All right.
She's good with it.
Okay.
So anyway, I mean, this is exactly what we do with commercials influencing you. This is exactly what influencers on social media do, is they just keep repeating something.
Right.
And just because you start to think it's true doesn't mean that's so. And just because they say it over and over again, except for every single commercial on this radio station is 100% true. Except for the whole next door pub, them hitting each other. They don't hit each other with the punch card thing. That no staff members were injured in that, in the making of that commercial. But we just, we know what they're doing. People who know what they're doing are sitting back saying, God, you people, why do you believe this? Just because they say it over and over again.
So,
yeah. And so stop. Like you said, don't be a headline reader either. Read the rest of the story, because that's the whole intent.
A lot of people don't make it past the headline.
Oh, God, no. And that's the whole intent of the headline.
Right.
Is for you to get to read the rest.
I don't know when this segment is ending, but I have a thought.
Okay.
And here is my thought. Let's say I was a journalist for whatever publication, or CNN, or ABC. And I know that I work for a left-leaning network, but I really want to tell a story that needs to be told. Do I just say, it's never going to make it that far because my bosses won't allow me, like Hunter Biden.
Right.
And the laptop. That story was suppressed and censored on Twitter.
Yeah.
You couldn't find that anywhere.
Yeah.
So
now they go back and say people would have known more about that story, they would have never voted for Biden.
And that's why they suppressed the story.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. If you are working for these organizations and you have any ounce of journalistic integrity, doesn't that bother you? That would really bother me.
Apparently not.
Anyway, that's all I have to add to that.
No, you're right.
Done.
You're right.
Done.
I know. I know. We went over again. Hey, you know what? You're lucky the show isn't 2 hours long. I have a lot.
I could sit here all day.
I know.
But I don't want to.
No, we can't.
Because it's early in the morning.
Yeah, we can't. I know.
I want to go enjoy my Sunday.
I already pulled you out of church.
Joni's looking through the window right now.
She, every week.
Sorry.
She's like, can you get out? Like, seriously, get out.
All right, we'll get out.
Yeah, we'll get out. All right. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah,
no.
I appreciate it. Let's not make this a thing, because I like not coming into work on Sundays.
Okay, we won't. So, I won't call you
appreciate
anymore.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Coming up next, more music right here on...
Nope. It's all Christmas till Christmas, Nancy.
Crap. I haven't been here in a long time. We're playing Christmas music?
Yeah.
I should listen more when I'm at home.
Yeah, come into work sometime.
I know.
It's all Christmas till Christmas. Do you know the name of the station?
Lake 96.1.
Nice job.